Morning, everyone. Let's see if I can coordinate microphone and hand flicker this morning. Happy New Year to everyone. Hope you've survived the week, survived last year. You obviously have survived last year, which is great. So that's a good thing. And we're into a new year. I was asked by Peter to speak a little bit on missions experience. He wanted a few mission stories, and I can't resist putting in a little bit. It's the first Sunday of the year, so I want to not just tell stories, but give a little bit of an encouragement for the year ahead and how to face it. Missions in 2021, what is my mission this year? I find it quite amusing. I was writing dates at work, and all I knew was that instead of 20, it had to be a 2 and a 1. I think on three charts last night I wrote 12. I'll get there. Usually by about the end of December I get the year right. What is my mission this year? And that's for each one of us. My credentials, as Jen said, for talking on missions. It's been a while since I did missions. I was single until a few years ago and spent about a decade in full-time missions, and then have done a lot of short-term trips along the way. So that's just some of them. If you're students of geography and the world map, then I was 6 years working in Spain with a mission organisation that does a lot of drug rehab and working in lower socioeconomic communities. So I worked under a pastor there. Philippines, I did a short term stint in the Philippines many years ago. Nepal, so that's where Mount Everest is. Did a bit of hospital work there. Thailand, Bolivia in South America, India, Papua New Guinea, and also as paid employment with nursing. There's a few up there. I've worked in the Solomon Islands and taught in East Timor and done a few things. So I'm very passionate about the world, and I feel it's been an incredible privilege for me to actually get a taste of other cultures. I love other cultures. I love the developing world because some of my biggest lessons have been learnt there. So what is your mission for 2021? Any New Year's resolutions? And as some of us get a little bit older, you realise that I'm going to eat really healthy this year, last till about January 6th, that I'm going to exercise every day. That usually fails by the second or the third. And even the good ones, the spiritual ones, like I'm going to read my Bible every day, sometimes don't always make it. So sometimes New Year's resolutions are difficult to maintain, and I think a lot of us actually give up on them. Where does God fit into our plans for 2021? Because at the end of the day, if I'm a follower of Jesus, then really the only plan I have for 2021 is to follow Jesus. That doesn't mean I don't make arrangements and organise things and coordinate things, but at the end of the day, my main plan is to follow Jesus and what he has for me. Proverbs 19:21 says, many are the plans of a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. We found out just this week, Philip and I are originally from Victoria, and tomorrow we had flights to go home and visit the family for a week, and those plans got changed. So thankfully I was preparing for this because I was able to say, well, Lord, that's in your hands. But it's true. At the end of the day, if my hope is on my plans, I get pretty disappointed, upset by when things go the wrong way. But if my hope is in God and my plans ultimately belong to him, then they will work. What does God want for us this year? I want to focus on a Bible verse I really love from the book of Micah in the Old Testament. It's a really simple verse. It's not got dramatic plans. It says, he has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness or mercy in some translations, and to walk humbly with your God. I like the message too. It says, but he's already made it plain how to live, what to do, what God is looking for in men and women. It's quite simple. Do what is fair and just to your neighbour. Be compassionate and loyal in your love, and don't take yourself too seriously. Take God seriously. It's a wee challenge for me just there. So I'm just going to break it down quickly into three things. So to do justly, I don't know what you think of when I say justice or justly. A couple of dictionary definitions: in a manner that is in a just manner, honestly and fair. Fairness in the way people are treated. I think we have a good concept of that in Australia. We like to be equal. We like to be fair. Although I'm sure most of us, if you're around kids or even adults, have heard the, oh, that's not fair. It's just not fair. So we've got a concept of kind of that fairness, equal, what is right. Sometimes our concepts vary from person to person, which can cause a clash. But one of the times I learnt about being just or fair was about a decade ago. I went to Thailand, to Northern Thailand. I was asked by the leprosy mission. So the leprosy mission is a mission established years ago to look after people with leprosy. So leprosy exists around the world. You may know it as that disease where people lose their limbs. They lose their limbs because they have no sensation of pain. And these are often people in poorer conditions, so their hands in the fire or they're walking on rocks, they don't feel any pain. And so much damage is done to limbs that they're eventually worn down. Leprosy is really easily treated with medications these days, as long as the people can access the medications. But in the north of Thailand, there was a leprosy mission set up on an island, a beautiful place for people with leprosy over 100 years ago. A lot of treatment was done. Part of that island is now dedicated to a village of, it's almost like retired lepers, if I can say that. So people who've had leprosy have been treated, but 30, 40 years ago, left their villages, were sent away from their villages because of the leprosy, don't have the disease anymore, but have the disabilities left from it, and they either can't go back to their village or they are too ashamed to go back to their village. So there's lots of these little huts where the people stay and live in. And I was asked to take this group of schoolies. Do you know what schoolies is, the end of year leavers? They wanted to do an alternative schoolies. So instead of partying for a week, an alternative schoolies where you go overseas, go somewhere like the leprosy mission and help out, help other people. So I took, there was a team of 10 of us who went to the leprosy mission with an aim of doing a little bit of tourism, but also in the mornings we would work in the gardens or we would sweep up the grounds. Great bunch of students. And one day we had the awesome privilege of meeting this bloke. So to the left up the top is his little house. You can see him sitting on the ground there. He has no ability to walk. He's got no feet. He's got socks and kind of stumps there and just bum shuffles around his way around, down the steps, up the steps. He's one of these residents who can no longer go back to his village or doesn't want to. He's only got stumps on the end of his arms, so when it comes to anything that requires fine motor movement, he really struggles. And one of the things that happens is tropical climate, the grass grows up really quickly around their houses, and if he is able to get out at all, you need to clear the grass from the ground. There's snakes. We even found a snake and had hysterics, and he thought it was amazing. So we spent 2 hours with him just sweeping and clearing the land around his house. And it was amazing to watch the students initially look at this bloke. He didn't speak English. We didn't speak Thai. And look slightly at him as though he was a different being almost. And as we spent time together, of course, there was a little snake found in the garden. All the girls screamed. He thought it was hilarious. Lots of laughter. They all laughed. And then, you know, some of them started doing a dance and he thought that was hilarious. You know what it's like when you try to communicate with someone without words and you can actually have a lot of fun. You can actually engage with someone and cross a barrier to really make a connection. And that's what the students did with this guy, and it was lovely to see by the end of the time there them coming up and touching him to say thanks, and a real connection. There was a sense of this is right, this is good, this is fair, this man is actually our equal. You know, he's just like us, he's normal. And it was a really lovely experience for us all. Blessed are those who act justly, who do what is right. And it was a good thing to do. I think most of us are okay with that. We think it's a good thing. We like doing good things. We like knowing that we can help someone out. to love mercy or kindness. Now, this one's a little bit more challenging for me. Kindness is good. I think mercy goes a step further. Mercy is when someone doesn't deserve our kindness. So, a couple of definitions. If someone in authority shows mercy, they choose not to harm someone, they have the power over, or they forgive someone, they have the right to punish. Compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone whom it is within one's power to punish or harm. So we know as Christians the concept of God showing us mercy. He's forgiven us. We've sinned. He doesn't have to forgive us. He's perfect. We're not. But it's his mercy that he forgives us and shows us love. I don't know that I've always been incredibly merciful. I think I like the justice bit more than the mercy, but I'm learning. One of the things that I found really interesting looking into this is it says, do justly, love mercy. It doesn't say do justly and do mercy. It says love mercy. That means really like being merciful, really enjoy being merciful and basically giving someone another go. And forgiving even when they don't deserve it. I spent 6 years of my life in Spain, San Sebastian up in the north. I was there for 4 years working in a church. San Sebastian, that's the town, absolutely stunning. That's my house, not quite so stunning. I know we think of missionaries often going to places like poorer countries, which is great because the Aussie dollar's strong and it buys a lot. It wasn't easy living in Spain. I actually lived below the poverty line because this place is expensive to live in. But in a town of 200,000, there are less than 100 Christians. So that's pretty sad statistics. There was a local church there, Santos and Merche, and that's me and their two girls up the top. He's actually a police officer, local police officer, works full-time as a police officer and pastors the church there. It's got about 60 people in his church. I turned up there. The mission I was working with wanted to go to that area. Turned up there to help. Very noble, young, enthusiastic missionary. Thought I was doing a great job. And about 3 months into my time, after the Sunday service, we all went out for a coffee. I had a young American girl who was there on a short-term mission staying with me at the time. And we went out for a coffee. And over that coffee, the pastor and his wife proceeded to basically tear my character apart. They were quite, kind of smiling assassins. Have you ever had that when someone says something with a smile on your face, but, you know, you really are quite immature, aren't you? But, that's, you know, you learn, it's all right. You sit there and think, thanks. So it was a really bizarre experience to go through. I got home that night, and this young girl was with me, and said to me, I couldn't catch everything, but it sounded like they were saying this and this and this and this. And I said, yep, that's what they said. And the best thing, I don't know about you, the best thing you can do is do the opposite reaction for me, because I always kind of going contrary to what everyone says. So she started saying, well, that's disgusting. Here you are, giving up your life, coming here to be a saint. She shone my halo so hard. And I said, no, it's not about that at all. It was good because it gave me perspective. And I had this little voice inside my head say to me, Kath, when you were coming up here to be a missionary and work in the church, you kept telling people that you wanted to support the local pastors, okay? Pastors up there had no support from no one. They were in a town of that many people. No conferences they can go to. There's just not that in Spain. And this little voice said to me, Kath, you were going to support the leadership up here. Was that just when they were nice to you and said thank you, or was that all the time? Okay, yeah, that was a bit of swallowing my pride there. It was really easy to almost demand my rights. How dare you speak to me like that? How dare you criticise when I'm here helping you? And I realised it wasn't about me. If I really was there because God asked me to go there to support them, then I support them, full stop. That's my job description. It's not be nice when they're nice, it's to support them. And so it was great. she was there beside me. I said, come on, let's sit down. We're going to pray about this. And we're going to pray a blessing over them. And we're just going to let it go. We're going to let it go and we're going to forgive. And it was interesting because 3 days later, I got a call from this gorgeous woman who 20 years later is still a good friend. Quite sheepish, asking to meet up. And I said, yeah, sure, no worries. And I could tell by her response, she was quite shocked at my response. That day was a turning point in our relationship. It was almost like I'd passed a test. They had so many people come up to the area where they live, because it's known as being a difficult area for the church. And so many foreigners had come in and gone out, or come in and then done their own thing and not supported the church. And I didn't see it at the time. They probably didn't even do it intentionally, but it was a test to see if I was really there to love and support them or whether I was there to do my own thing. And it was only by God's grace that I was actually able to be kind. But in your great mercy, you did not put an end to them or abandon them, for you are gracious and merciful God. And when I sit down and think about how much God has forgiven me and how merciful he is to me on a daily basis, then I don't have a right to actually hold a grudge or demand too much of others around me. The third thing is walk humbly with your God. A humble person is not proud, does not believe they are better than other people. To walk humbly with my God is to walk in a way that is not proud or arrogant, to walk modestly. That one up the top, it's very easy to say that I don't believe I'm better than others. It's really hard to live out. Sometimes it can be very subtle. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. And for this one, we're going to the Philippines. My first ever mission trip many years ago, several decades ago, was to the Philippines. I was very young and enthusiastic. One of my good friends was actually living in a slum area in the Philippines, working with the local church run by a wonderful local pastor. And she invited the church to take a team of 5 or 6 of us to live and go and live, each one in a little house, little shack, in one of the slum areas with a family there. This is long before digital cameras. That's the 3 kids in my family. Their names were Ethel, Methel and Benzel. Guess where their dad worked? In a paint mixing factory. I love that. Ethel, Methel and Benzel, straight from the paint tins. They were gorgeous. So mum, dad and 3 kids. That's the kind of thing we did. So that's the surrounds of the church. And we poured concrete in a very basic hand-done fashion to actually, that was one of the tasks we did while we were there, was we actually concreted the floor of the church so that it wouldn't wash away in the wet season. I haven't got photos of the little house I lived in, but it was an amazing experience. I, as a young, enthusiastic 21-year-old, I think I was, knew I was going to the slums. We'd had a lot of people talk to us about what we were going to do. We knew we'd be doing manual work. So when I packed my case, I packed some of my older clothes. I didn't take my best clothes. I figured if you're living in a slum, you certainly don't need your Sunday best. And one T-shirt I took with me was a T-shirt that I was going to throw out, had a bit of a stain on it, and I thought, oh, that'll do for the Philippines. On the first day there, I'd arrived all hot and sweaty with that shirt on. My gorgeous little mum in the house took it from me, went to do her hand washing, as they do, in a bucket, and it came out spotless. That was my first little walk in humility. I thought, right, well, so much for us and our flash washing machines. Little bit of elbow grease. This woman knows what she's doing. The next thing that taught me even more, just how beautiful and generous these people are, and I realised just how much riches get in the way of life sometimes and generosity and that abundant life. We sat down for dinner one night and I noticed that the fish that were on the plates, fish looked great, been well cooked, it looked good, but they had a few ants running around on it. I thought, oh, that's a bit awkward. haven't had ants on my dinner. I did think, well, it's a good thing that they're still alive because it means it's all fresh. But then they proceeded to put one fish on my plate and the other fish they divided up between the five of them. Wow, I enjoyed that fish. I ate every mouthful. I sometimes waited till the ant ran off before I picked it up. But their generosity, their beauty in the midst of that situation, they were always spotless. They lived in shocking conditions. They had to get up early in the morning and go and gather their water from the well. They worked hard and yet were some of the happiest, most generous people I've ever had the privilege to meet. And it was a really good start to my time in missions to meet people like that and just basically pull me down a peg or two. Humility is the fear of the Lord. Its wages are riches and honour and life. Same verse, the payoff for meekness and fear of God is plenty and honour and satisfying life. You know, you don't, if you give and give and give, you don't end up poorer. That's an amazing promise. Riches and honour and life. Satisfying life. I like that. I like that payoff. If that's what God is going to give me, if I do justly, love mercy and walk humbly with my God, then it's actually worth it for me. Generally, there has to be something in there for me, no, if for us to do it. But there is. There's a payoff. It even says that. The payoff for that meekness and humility is plenty and honour and satisfying life. So the secret to success in 2021, that's it. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Make your plans. Never anything wrong with making plans. But if that's our top priority, then as the plans come and go, are fulfilled or maybe not, then we'll still remain happy and positive and have a good year. This was given to me years ago and I think it's a good way to start the year. If my life means Jesus first, others next and yourself last, then it adds up to joy. And it's a good way to start the year. If I'm focused on others and what I can do for those around me, then often it leaves me less preoccupied with me. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your love. Thank you for your, not even justice, you are just merciful to us. You are gracious and merciful. You give us so much and you give us much more than we deserve. You forgive our sins and you love us and you promise us good things if we will only put you first and seek you and love you above all things. Lord, I pray for each one of us this year that with the challenges we face, whether at home or work or in our inside lives, in our thoughts, in our heart, wherever we're struggling most, Lord, I pray that you will give us the strength to look to you, to put you first, and to walk in justice, mercy and humility with you. So thank you, Father. We don't have to do it by ourselves. You have given us your Holy Spirit. You have given us the beautiful example of Jesus to show us how it's done. And we want to choose to do life that way this year. Amen.